The World Cup. Soccer. What we call football. The United States, Mexico and Canada have launched a joint bid to host the World Cup in 2026. There've been joint ones before. I think, was it Japan and Korea? I don't like the joint bid. You should just have one nation. To go with three? Just a bit daft. Now, here's the interesting bit. There are no rival bids. FIFA won't allow bidders from Europe and Asia. They say it's because Russia's hosting the World Cup in 2018 and Qatar are hosting 2022. Why should that make any difference? The World Cups are 4 years apart. Just what if it was in Europe twice? Who would care? It's all because the way the World Cup hosts are chosen is shrouded in mystery. All we know is that it's got a lot to do with corruption. And really, all that money that goes into preparing bids and bribing the right people should go back into the game. And this is easy to fix. The rule should be, if your country wants to host the World Cup, all you've got to do is win it. The holders should be the next hosts. That way, if your country wants to enjoy all the benefits of being the host nation, you have to put the money into the game, into the grassroots of the game, to make your country's team the best. Football in every country in the world would get a helping hand and would get money for pitches and coaches and all the things that it needs. There'd be more to play for in the World Cup. And the football would get better. That's not going to happen. Too many old men in suits would miss out on their plain brown envelopes stuffed with cash and free trips around the world. Staying in five-star accommodation. You see, it's those corrupt FIFA officials that will get to decide on a rule change like that. And that's not going to happen. Be like turkeys voting for Thanksgiving. So with no other bidders, it looks pretty certain that in 2026, the hosts of the World Cup will be the USA, Canada, and Mexico. Now, the USA could easily host the whole thing on their own. Having Canada and Mexico involved will bring advantages and disadvantages. For instance, the people that moved to Canada after the Trump election won't have to move back to watch World Cup games. But if the Mexican team has to play in the USA in 2026, first thing they're going to have to do is get over that wall. I'm Graham Mack, and here's what else is happening in Britain this week. Well, the Queen's been to visit Whipsnade Zoo. There's a baby elephant there that's been named after her, which feels kind of appropriate to me because she's got a lot in common with a zoo elephant. I mean, they're both part of a captive breeding program. And they both exist in an artificial environment where tourists take pictures of them.
This is London Calling.
I wish Christians had mind their own business. The National Trust, the people who look after Britain's historical buildings and estates, has made changes to the name of its chocolate egg hunt because of whining Christians. The National Trust website originally asked you to join the Cadbury egg hunts without mentioning the word Easter. Well, the Church of England got their cassocks in a twist, and the Archbishop of York said to drop Easter from Cadbury's Easter egg hunt, in my book, is tantamount to spitting on the grave of Cadbury. Now I'm confused. I thought Christians worshipped Jesus, not John Cadbury, the bloke who started Cadbury's chocolate. I remember something about blessed are the cheesemakers, but I'm pretty sure there's nothing in the Bible about blessed are the chocolate makers. Easter Sunday is the holiest of holy days in Christianity. What's it got to do with chocolate eggs anyway? And what about the Easter Bunny? He's not even in the Bible. What's he got to do with the big Christian holiday of Easter? Well, the answer is nothing. For 60,000 years, eggs have been a symbol of fertility and new life, which is what spring is all about. The date of Easter is decided based on the moon, because pagans worshipped the sun and the moon long before Christianity stole these rituals and claimed them as their own. Pagan Anglo-Saxons held feasts in the spring for Eostre, the dawn goddess, who gives her name to Easter. It was originally Eostre. According to legend, Eostre rescued a bird dying from the cold and turned it into a hare so it would have fur to keep it warm. But it still laid eggs like a bird. In one version of the story, they painted and decorated the eggs as a gift to the Saviour. So Easter has got nothing to do with Jesus, and we've been celebrating Easter in this country since thousands of years before Christianity was even invented. Eat chocolate eggs this Easter, or pray to your favourite God, or do both. It's a free country. But don't be telling other people how to celebrate the start of spring. And don't let the Christians or anyone else that wants your money tell you what you can and can't do, or what you should and shouldn't call your chocolate egg hunt. Happy Eostre. Some news from America this week that's been getting quite a lot of attention here in Britain is this story of the bloke who was dragged off the plane because the plane was overbooked and the airline needed his seat. You've been keeping an eye on this, Jane.
I've seen the videos.
Oh.
I was looking at BuzzFeed.
Right.
And it's quite often got interesting stories on. And,
yeah.
And there were three videos of people on the plane.
Yeah.
And I was quite... For some reason, I sort of read through and thought, what have United done now?
Yeah.
Because it was United that banned the three girls with leggings on for getting on the plane.
Oh, it's the same airline, yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And apparently, it was four employees, I think, that needed to have a shift start on the day after or something like that.
Oh, the passengers that they wanted them to make room for were actually United staff.
Yes, I think. If because bear in mind, I read this. And I didn't, you know, take it on 100%.
Yes.
But I think it was employees that needed to start a shift.
But the CEO is saying all the wrong things here.
The videos were appalling. I was actually in tears.
Oh.
The guy, there was two security men.
Who's a doctor. Yeah.
And another man.
Yeah.
And they went to his seat, unbuckled his seatbelt, and dragged him off.
Wow.
They said the blood came from where his lip hit the armrest.
Yeah.
And he was screaming initially.
Right.
Totally screaming.
Yeah.
The third video I saw showed him getting back on, and this is where I was in tears. He was so distressed. He was just running up the aisle. His trousers were a bit at half mast.
Did they? He got back on, did he?
Yes. Yeah. They let him back on.
Yeah.
And he was just muttering, I've got to get home, I've got to get home, I've got to get home, over and over again. The distress was palpable. It was so obvious. And for me watching, that was the distressing part.
Another international story that's been getting a lot of attention here in Britain comes from Australia, where a bloke racked up a restaurant bill of over $450 US and then ran away from the restaurant and ran into the sea. Police chased him on jet skis. Now, in this country, that's known as doing a runner. A group of blokes will go out for a night on the beer. They'll get very, very drunk. And then the first thing they do after that is go to a curry house, an Indian restaurant. And usually when you do this, the people who run the Indian restaurant will not let you sit near the door. You'll have to sit as close to the kitchen as they can get you, and they may even put a bloke on the door. You might be the only ones in there. So doing a runner is kind of a British tradition. How you going, Mick?
You talk about doing a runner at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and the missus went out last year.
Yeah.
And we went to this quite nice restaurant. It's quite expensive.
Yeah.
And they were sitting having a dinner, and there's this couple behind us, and they're getting a bit loud, and obviously had too much to drink. And I said to the waitress, they're enjoying themselves, isn't they? And she said, yeah, they've been here about an hour and a half. She says they've had a few bottles of wine and lots of drink. At least they're merry.
Yes.
And about 10, 15 minutes later, it started getting a bit louder. Then it started to get, I thought it was having a bit of a barney between themselves. But what it was happening was they were shouting at the waitress, and then they stood up in the middle of this restaurant and they went, we've got maggots in our salad. And then first thing you do, you look down on your plate to see if you've got maggots on your salad.
Yeah.
Didn't you?
Yeah.
And then he goes, I'm not paying for this. We go in and that, and they pick their bags up and everything. And then what, the security guard came up to see them. And then what they did is they emptied out their bags and they got test tubes. And inside these test tubes were maggots.
No! So this
they
was a...
They followed, yeah, they did it deliberately. I think the waitress, we talked to the waitress, I think they've got form, these two, this couple. They do it quite, there's like a pub watch, and they're one of these people where, but they've done it a few times before.
Yeah.
And what they do is they go around with their bags, and they've got a test tube full of little maggots, and when they've nearly finished their dinner, they pour a few of them on their dinner, and then obviously they kick up a fuss, and the restaurant sort of says, don't make a fuss, you get a free meal on that, but...
A scam-a-lama ding-dong. Well, of course, once they've had all the food and the booze, then the maggots appear, yes. Yeah.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
Exactly that, yeah.
Wow. Hey, Mick, thank you very much.
Thank you, Graham.
Cheers, ta-da.
Bye.
Jim's checked in on Skype. Jim's in Philadelphia. And last time I was in America, we had a lovely lunch together. You drove over to New York. You know I've planned my latest trip to New York. It's all booked.
August, is it?
No, it's June. It works this way. It works. I'm on the air on Wednesday the 31st of May at Bob FM. Then I drive 200 miles to Manchester and I stay in an airport hotel. Early the next morning, the 1st of June, I fly to New York and arrive at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I then go and check into my hotel in Manhattan, West 28th Street. I check into the Holiday Inn there. And then the next morning, I attend the Talkers radio convention.
Yeah.
So that's June the 2nd. And that same night at 10 o'clock, I get on a flight from JFK back to Manchester. And then that day, which is Saturday the 3rd, I drive from Manchester to Liverpool, check into another hotel, and then the following morning, Sunday the 4th, I'm on the air 9 till 12 at BBC Radio Merseyside, and then I drive 200 miles back to Hertfordshire, and the next morning at 6 a.m. I'm back on the air at Bob.
Woo!
That's rock star stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
So I'll literally be in New York from about, I think it's 12:55 on the 1st of June, and I take off at 10 o'clock on the 2nd of June.
Wow.
I'm staying one night. Yeah.
You'll be longer in the air than you will be at any one place.
I think so. Yeah, what is it, 5 or 8 each way? I can't remember, somewhere between the two. 5 or 8 each way. Yeah. I'm hoping they've got Wi-Fi on the plane so I can do some prep. But, yeah.
Oh, they must have.
I don't know. You know, it depends who you fly with. Aer Lingus have it, the Irish airline. British Airways don't have it.
Really?
Yeah, don't have Wi-Fi. I don't know why. Maybe they've got it now, but last time I crossed the Atlantic, which was last year, Aer Lingus, they have it.
I'd imagine any more to stay competitive, they've got to.
Yeah. I mean, I
feel... You know, because if once one of them has it, then it's sort of like, okay, now we have to get it too.
Yeah.
I don't even know who I'm flying with. It says it's Thomas Cook Airlines, but I don't even think they exist. They do these code share things, don't they? And there's a DE on the flight thing. I'm guessing it's Delta.
Ah, that could be.
Yeah, I think so. As long as I'm not...
Yeah, because Thomas Cook doesn't operate here.
No. I don't even think they got an airline. I think they just...
They used to. There was one.
Was there? There was a Thomas Cook airline. I know there was a Thomson Fly, but Thomas Cook...
I'm pretty sure there was a Thomas... There was something.
Oh, okay. Maybe it is Thomas Cook. I don't know. All I know is it's going to be a full flight, because when I booked it, it said there were two seats remaining.
Oof.
And I got one of them. So it'll be a full flight. Hopefully I don't get dragged off because some employees of the airline need the seat. You heard the story this week?
No.
That was United. Yeah. There's video.
No, I saw that in the line. I saw that in the one of today's lines of something about United.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they dragged a guy. They just came on and said, oh, we've overbooked this flight. You're coming off. This fellow went, he just said, they undid his seatbelt and dragged him off the plane.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't know all the details, but I've heard, I don't know if it's true, I've heard that it was some employees of the airline needed the seat. I don't know who. I don't know whether it was someone high up or whether it was just some flight attendant, some trolley dollies that needed to be at another airport or something. I don't know.
Somebody deadheading.
Somebody deadheading? What's that?
That's when someone... I don't know if it applies. That's when somebody's basically repositioning because of a pilot or a flight attendant.
Must have been pretty important to drag a paying customer off a flight. He was a doctor. Yeah. He wasn't happy about it. I haven't seen the video, but apparently it's pretty horrific. And United are the same airline that dragged took the girls off the plane for wearing leggings a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I heard about.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there. And the CEO of United is saying all the wrong things. He's not saying, look, I'm going to look into this, but this clearly isn't right. That's all he has to say. He's saying, we apologize. You know, he's saying that at least, but he seems to be across it and is okay with this as a procedure. He seems to be, from what I've read about the quotes of what he said.
We apologize to Dr. So-and-so, but we are not saying it's not going to happen next week.
Hmm. You see, he's a CEO, and I've always thought with an airline, your CEO a lot like your pilot. They don't have to do anything for long periods of time. But when they do, it's essential that they do it perfectly.
Yes.
You know, and your CEO, basically your job is doing nothing. But now and again, when things go bad for the company, you've really got to be doing and saying the right thing. Exactly the same as an airline pilot. Most of their job is doing nothing.
Yeah.
But now and again, you know, when Captain Sully is needed, you have to get it perfectly right.
Yeah.
And this guy got it wrong as far as I can see so far. But, oh.
That's a shame, too, because I used to fly United all the time. That was my airline of choice.
Yeah, really? Yeah?
Because they have, I don't know if they do it anymore, a thing called Channel 5? Channel 9 was from the flight deck.
Oh, really?
That as you were most, aside from one or two that didn't have it equipped.
Yeah.
Because I used to crisscross the country.
Yeah.
Every 2.5 months.
Right.
When I was sailing.
Yeah.
And I always listened in. You could listen into the air traffic control.
Right.
Whatever frequency the pilots had.
Yeah.
You could listen in.
Really? So it was just the audio from the cockpit?
Yeah. It was the audio from whatever was on that frequency. So you could hear the pilots talking. You could hear other pilots talking. You could hear air traffic controllers talking to the pilots.
Oh, well, that would have been interesting. What would be great?
I always found it fascinating.
What would be great is if they combined that with a webcam at the wide angle at the back of the cockpit so you could see them working and you could see out the window of you landing and stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that won't come in case, you know, you see.
I'm sure it will. But at least I always enjoyed listening to, I was landing in Denver once.
Yeah.
And they have several parallel runways in Denver. So they're landing planes east and on two simultaneous
side by side. Yeah.
Yeah. And the guy working the approach, I've never heard anyone talk so fast and so clearly at the same time.
Oh,
it was
really?
Just remarkable.
Yeah. Wow.
He just had it down pat, just bringing this, you know, stepping the planes down to this and this distance here and this, you have to speed up here, you do this, this is happening over here. It was just remarkable.
Wow. And did you spend any time in Denver?
No, it was just changing planes.
Oh, right, because I went to a radio convention in Denver a few years back, and they should have given me another flight to Denver from Denver Airport. It was the trip from the airport to the town is long haul.
Is it really?
I got in a, luckily I got off this plane and I recognized another English guy. What's his name? Chris Pegg, who was a program director in England at a radio station. And I kind of knew him. I'd seen him at different things. And he must have been, he was going to this same convention. I wasn't traveling with him, but he must have been on the same plane as me. And I saw him in the terminal. I said, hey, do you want to split a cab? And he went, yeah, sure. Well, I can't remember what it cost, but I'm damn glad I split it. Because we were in this cab for hours. Well, it felt like hours.
Yeah.
It was a long, long way. That Denver airport to Denver city where the hotel was, downtown area. Wow. A long, long way. Yeah. Denver was also the scene of my stand-up comedy nightmare.
Yes, I remember.
Do you remember me telling you about that?
Yeah.
That was Denver. That was a comedy club in Denver on a street called Broadway, and the name of the club was whatever the address was. Like, it was something like if the club was at 960 Broadway, then the club was called 960 Broadway. And I remember mentioning that in the act, and that not going well either. Saying you're not exactly creative geniuses, are you, when you've come up with the name of this place? In fact, naming the street outside, you didn't waste much time either. What should we call this big Broadway? but none of this stuff worked. None of it worked. I died.
Eddie Izzard was talking about the pilgrims coming over.
Yeah.
And okay, we've landed. Where did we come from? Plymouth. What should we call this? Plymouth Rock. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Very creative.
It was that situation exactly. In fact, I mentioned the airport being so far away and nobody connected. And I thought, this is a room full of people who've never been to the airport. It has to be, because that was funny. But that's the thing, like Seinfeld said, you know, you don't get to decide what's funny. The audience does. It's up to them whether you're funny or not. And I was not funny that night, not even accidentally, not even ironically. It just didn't work. Oh. It's dreadful. Thank you. And it was right next to a gun shop. Guns and ammo. Oh, that's,
luckily, it was after hours.
Ah, the place was like a haircut museum. I've never seen so many mullets. It was just... there were people playing pool at the back of the room while the comedians were... It was just dreadful.
Ah, oh, that's awful.
Dreadful. I wish I remembered the number of... Oh, it was just... That was Denver. Yeah, oh dear. Yeah, but hey, you got to hear the pilots talking you in Denver Airport.
Oh, yeah, fascinating.
Yeah, I bet. I reckon it'd be quite fascinating hearing the police two-way and the security two-way as they drag this doctor off the plane.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, United, that's a shame. The thing I always used to like about when I traveled to the U.S. on a U.S. carrier is it felt like you were in America the second you got on the plane. You see, if you fly with Aer Lingus or British Airways, you don't really feel like you're in America till you get there. But you fly with an American carrier, and straight away everything's American. It's great. You know, get the old Sky Mall brochure out. You ever look at that?
Oh, yes, of course.
I used to love it. I used to come back to Britain and go on the radio, and I could do a full 20 minutes on the Sky Moore catalogue. Oh, the stuff in there. You know, the plastic rock for hiding your key. There'd be all that stuff from Sharper Image.
Yeah, and if you know, there's another one. Hammacher Schlemmer.
Yes, they're in there. Yeah.
Oh, talk about some useless stuff.
Useless stuff. There'll be a thing like for shaving your cat or something. You know, there'll be, you know, just weird stuff. And you think, well, somebody must be buying this. And do you know what? On one trip, I actually bought something from the Sky Mall catalogue.
Oh.
Yes. Because I brought the catalogue with me. I was living in Birmingham. And I thought this was a brilliant idea. It was back in the time, remember when you used to have a flip phone? It was a Motorola StarTAC flip phone. And the battery kind of piggybacked on the back of it on one side. And in the Sky Mall catalog, they were selling a battery for the StarTAC flip phone that replaces your standard battery that comes with it. Only this had solar cells on the back of the battery. So you'd never have to charge your cell phone. And I thought, that's genius.
That is genius.
So I sent off and I bought the battery. And you could still charge the battery through the charger like the regular battery.
Yeah.
But if you just, you know, but it had solar cells on the back of the battery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you set the phone in a window in the afternoon, boom.
Exactly. Only thing is, I never sat the phone in a window. I carried the phone in my pocket.
It was in your pocket. There's not a lot of sunlight getting into your pocket.
It didn't make any difference at all. I still had to charge it up just as much as before, and there was never enough. If it went completely dead, I think you had to leave it out for something like the length of time you had to leave it out was not enough to make
or something.
I can't remember. It wasn't enough to make a call. It may have only been an hour, but that's no good when you need to make a call now.
Yeah,
it was completely useless. Absolutely. It was just like everything else in the catalogue. It was completely useless. But it fooled me.
But it sounds like a great idea.
It sounds like a great idea. And I almost wanted to buy it just to support the idea, thinking, why aren't all cell phones solar powered? You know, why do you have to keep charging a blinking things up? Yeah, I was so enamored by the idea of the thing. I went ahead and stumped up cash. But yeah. So if you do get thrown off a flight, you do avoid not only bad food, you avoid being conned by the SkyMall catalog. So it's not all bad, you know.
There is an upside.
Yeah, to being physically thrown off a plane, there is an upside. Yeah, you should always look for the positive.
And he saved himself 150 quid in crap.
Yes, that he would have even bought like weeks later if he'd taken the catalogue home, you know? Yeah, he really did. Wow. There's always like stuff in there for hiding things, like for hiding your key in a fake rock or hiding your money in a fake safe or just lots of stuff.
Or in the bottom of a shaving cream.
Yeah, that's it. The shaving.
With the fake false bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. They sold stuff like that. Who needs to hide money? If you need to hide money that way, you've got bigger problems in your life than the SkyMall catalogue can solve. Really?
Yes, and it's not like criminals don't have access to the SkyMall calendar, to the SkyMall, you know,
yeah,
just as well. So they'll recognize, oh, wait a minute, that's a fake can of shaving cream. I bet you there's money in there.
I bet there, yeah.
Wait a minute, I recognize that plastic rock. That's where they're hiding their key. No one's getting away with that.
No one's getting away with it. No. Ah, the SkyMall.
And all criminals have to do is walk around the front, just look around the front, look on the ground. Okay, which rock looks fake?
Yeah, this plastic one here. Yeah, this painted plastic one. Yeah. So there's the key. Then they're in the house. Now, where's the money? Let me see.
Now, you're actually helping the criminals having that plastic rock.
Yes, you are. It's, you're just making life a lot easier for them, which what the catalogue says it will do. It, these things promise to make your life easier. If you're a criminal.
Yes, yes, you're helping out the wrong person.
Yeah. But there's a lot of stuff on there for pets. I remember there being like a cat toilet that looked like a piece of furniture. And there was like a dog treadmill. It's just, yeah. Or there was a ramp that helped you get the dog into the back of the car. And another thing, I think, for cleaning pet hairs, there was a lot of pet stuff in there, I seem to remember.
Several years ago, some of the people I worked with, they'd never heard of Hammacher Schlemmer. So we looked online and just people, at this point now, we were just trying to find the most expensive thing on there.
Yeah.
And I think for $50,000, you could buy a dinosaur replica that you could put in your front lawn or side lawn. I don't know where you would put it.
Right. Yeah.
That if it was a life-size dinosaur.
Well, I saw.
Who would need this?
I can remember one now from the Sky Mall catalog, and I can't remember if it's a Hammacher Schlemmer or who it was, but it was actually the very top of a torso and a head and an arm reaching out as if they were in quicksand. A statue. And you put it in your garden as a conversation piece. It was like, yeah, the very top half of someone as if the rest of them were buried and they were, you know, fighting for their life. That was definitely one of the things in the Sky Mall catalog.
That's good.
Now, why would you want that?
It sounds like someone you would find at on a college campus at a frat house, that you'd have a mannequin coming up out of the...
Yeah. Or maybe it's something like the Haunted Mansion at Disney.
I was
going to
say, yes. At a,
you know, that...
somebody's coming out of a grave.
Out of a grave. Yeah, it looked like that. But it was like concrete or plaster of Paris or something. It wasn't even... It didn't even look like it was marble or anything. It looked cheap as well. I don't know why you'd want that.
Yeah, but someone's... It's there. Someone's going to buy it.
They must be selling this stuff. They can't be making all this money from solar-powered cell phone batteries just to put the other stuff in there. This stuff is selling too. Wow. Wow. It was so I'm hoping that when I fly, it is an American airline and it does have the Sky Mall catalog. I'm hoping it's still going. Be very disappointed if it isn't.
Well, if not, you can just go to sharperimage.com.
Yeah. Or one of those. What, the Brookstones? I can't remember if Brookstones were in the...
Yeah, Brookstones was I don't know if it's still around, but...
There's always the Brookstone shops in airports.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as Jerry Seinfeld points out, there's always luggage shops in airports. Who shows up the airport with no luggage? Wouldn't that be like the worst place to sell luggage? Everybody there's already got luggage. That should be like the worst place you could sell luggage. But there's always a luggage shop at the airport. Loads of them.
Yeah, it's no one goes to the airport without luggage.
Where do they go?
You know what? I need some luggage. Where should I go?
Yeah.
The first place that you're thinking is not the airport.
No. And if you're packing, you're thinking, well, which suitcase should I take? You know what? I'm just going to wrap all of this stuff up in a sheet and I'll buy a suitcase when I get to the airport.
I'll just throw it all in the garbage bag.
What is that all about? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, it's so counterintuitive.
Yeah, but they must survive. They must make money. They must thrive. I don't know.
Or you get to the airport and you know what? I'm going to upgrade my luggage right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to completely unpack.
Yes.
Everything that I just spent hours packing.
Yes.
So in the middle of a busy terminal, I can repack a new bag.
Yeah. And who makes an impulse buy a piece of Samsonite, you know? It's not an impulse purchase, is it? You know, you're going to...
Should I get some chewing gum or a six-piece luggage set? I'll get the luggage.
Yeah. I don't understand that one. Because it's always the high-end stuff. It's not cheap luggage. It's high-end stuff.
Yeah.
It must be people, and it's always as well, after you've gone through security. So the luggage shop is always after you've gone through security. You've already checked your bags in. So now you have nothing to put in it. You must be buying luggage and then carting empty luggage that is now the wrong size to go in the overhead bin.
You can't fit it in the overhead.
They're going to make you check it when you get to the door of the plane. And it's empty. Don't understand. Anyway, that's it for this one. In the next one, the second half of my interview with Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Graham Mac. You want to hear more Mac Nuggets? Check out my website, macmedia.co.uk, or subscribe to my Bob FM show on iTunes. Got a question or something to say? Send me an email. If you put your phone number in the email, I might call you back on the show. Might even Skype you. My email address is graham@macmedia.co.uk. And you spell Graham like the cracker, Mac like the truck. Till next time. Ta-da.